are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Two things that dawned on me today. Number one, we have not heard the name Caitlin Clark in a couple weeks. It's weird, right? She is all the rage, of course, when it comes to women's basketball, the WNBA. Even the initial conversation when the Olympics started, spurred on by Dawn Staley's comments that USA basketball might have made a different choice, might have more seriously considered Caitlin for the women's Olympic team. If they knew then what they know now. So there's a little bit of buzz at the beginning of the games. But really, for the past week and a half, it's been strangely quiet around Caitlin Clark. I'm glad for her, glad for some of the other rookies, like Angel Reese. I know Cameron Brinks got an injury, would have been in the Olympics. But for some of the rookies who really needed a break coming right out of their college seasons into the draft and the award season and then all the media, especially that Caitlin and Angel did, not to mention working with sponsors and filming commercials for the different companies that endorse her and that she is partnered with. So yeah, she definitely needed a break. And a listener posted a photo on our Facebook page of Caitlin feeding baby goats at the fair. I shouldn't assume. I think it was the Iowa State Fair. But good for her. Taking some time off, getting some sleep, hanging out with family and her boyfriend, and just enjoying not having to be on a schedule. Not that she isn't working on basketball. They're probably practicing now again to get ready for the second half of the Indiana Fever season. But to have a little time off, to have fun and sleep, that had to be heavenly, exactly what Caitlin needed. And whenever the Fever get back on court, no doubt the Fuhrer will be back as well. The fever, as I call it. People will have fever again. My mom is actually traveling for the next 10 days. Can't wait for her to show up in New Jersey. But she's currently with my brother in Northern Virginia. And she is, I'm sure, when she gets to my house, going to be needing me to find the games on TV or online so she can watch them. Because she might be the Fever and Caitlin's biggest fan. Fever. My mom's got fever. I wonder if she brought her jersey to the Northeast. I'll have to ask her that too. So yes, really excited. This time next week, Mom will already be at my house. Her first visit to my place since I got married, of course, but first visit since 2021 when we had a flood inside. It was raining on the inside, and she took off after that before the house was even fully repaired. And so, I haven't seen her here since 2021. Really looking forward to it. It's been more than 3 years since Mom has been here, and it's all different now, of course. The house looks different. Furniture's in different places. There is different furniture in the house since Bob moved in, but really excited about Mom's visit next week. So it's been relatively quiet, hardly any word of Caitlin Clark, though the U.S. women's team led by as many as 30 points against Nigeria in the quarterfinals at the Olympics on Wednesday and never trailed in that game. Now 59 consecutive wins for Team USA. On the women's side, 59 in a row. Either the rest of the world has to raise the bar, rest of the world has to figure out how to select and groom and put together better rosters, or the U.S. will continue to dominate. And it's likely that the U.S. will continue to dominate. No team is invincible. But the best players in the world, the majority of the best players in the world come from the United States or rep the United States right now in both men's and women's basketball. So no Caitlin Clark until the WNBA resumes. Though we've got plenty of other incredible stories in women's sports at the Olympics. I had said to you on last night's show how thrilled I was for Gabby Thomas and how much I love her story. And on Wednesday evening's coverage of Primetime in Paris, though of course it's a hodgepodge, it's a production of the best moments from Paris because they're sleeping while we're watching our own primetime coverage. They showed the national anthem ceremony, the whole thing for Gabby Thomas, who won the 200 meters and at some point will get back to her medical career as she pursues her master's. She wants to work in nutrition. So it's really neat to be able to see hers. Another thing that dawned on me as we get started here after hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page named after the show, Easy Peasy. I did go back and answer a bunch of your questions from Ask Amy Anything, so thanks for sending those. It also dawned on me, as I've said to you about some of the big stories at the Olympics, it dawned on me, and this is when I was at the gym, I never fully invested or appreciated synchronized swimming. I was running at the gym, so we had a bunch of rain in our neighborhood on Wednesday. In fact, it's been a lot of rain, Tuesday, Wednesday, going back to last weekend too. I'm sure a lot of people inundated with Debbie and what's left of Debbie have kind of felt like they're ready for the rain to move on as well. So we were at the gym instead of working outside, and I think it was USA. It wasn't big NBC, but USA was on a TV right in front of the treadmill, and I was watching the final swims for both the U.S. and China in the synchronized swimming event. It's got to be one of the hardest, most detailed and practice intense sports that I've ever seen. It combines both athleticism and power as well as the artistry. And you're doing it while you're swimming. Now, I think what Simone Biles and all of these gymnasts do on their various routines, as we've seen gymnastics really be in the spotlight for the last week and a half, all of that's amazing. They combine power and artistry. And the best in the world, like Simone, do it seamlessly. Now, add the pool to that mix. These women are, in fact, doing gymnastics elements. They're doing tumbles. They're doing all types of lifts, the type that you might see in figure skating, for instance, or cheerleading is another great example. It combines all these different athletic, powerful, difficult routines, cheerleading / gymnastics, plus the artistry and having to react to the music as it plays. But in addition to that, there's 7 or 8 of them that are all doing this at the same time, and they're swimming while they're doing it. It's incredible. It's not that I'd never seen it, but it's definitely gotten more complicated and much more involved since the last time I saw synchronized swimming. It used to be much more art and far less of the athletic and the cheerleading type elements, the lifts, the flies, the stacks, the towers, the pyramids, all of that is happening. Now, the United States has not traditionally been a power in synchronized swimming. It was pretty cool to see this awesome routine for their final chance in the pool, their final time in the pool. Really, no one had any chance of catching China because China had a 69-point lead going into the final round. But Team USA leapfrogged all the other teams ahead of it and grabbed silver in the synchronized swimming, the team event. And I was blown away. Although I guess it's all a team event, right? Because you have to have more than one person for the synchronized swimming. The choreography, the athleticism, the precision, the detail, and these young women, one of whom was 18, these young women working together. Can you imagine the practice that goes into it? Anyone who is a cheerleader or has been a cheerleader who's listening, or if you are the parent or a family member, friend of a cheerleader at the highest level, you understand how much training goes into those routines. And this is in the pool. I have a newfound respect. I've always been impressed by what the water polo teams do because, again, you're doing it in the water. And as much as I can tread water, try treading water while someone's dragging you down and you got to move around and throw the ball around too. I mean, that's a battle in the water. It's hard enough to have these routines synchronized and efficient and they're locked in and precision for each other as a team, or for each other and as a team, but also to do it to music, right? So you have to stay on beat and then do it in the water. I felt like looking around at the rest of the people in the gym, wondering if they were watching what I was watching. I felt like pointing to the TV. And then as Team USA got out of the water, realizing that they had just nailed this final routine and that they were about to move into first place, I mean, there was some bit of a waiting period, but they found out they had moved into first place with only China left to go. They finished with the silver medal. And I am a newly impressed, incredibly proud fan of Team USA in synchronized swimming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Is there a sport out there that has impressed you to the hilt? Of course, they're all awesome athletes, and their dedication and commitment to what they do is phenomenal. I still have not seen any breakdancing, or breaking as they call it. I haven't decided yet whether or not that belongs in the Olympics, though they don't care about my opinion. We are getting closer to the end of the Olympics and that point at which the NFL is back into the center ring of the circus. It's happening. In fact, it's pretty close because we've got a full slate of NFL preseason games that begin on Thursday. A couple of games that take over one NFL network. The other one, I guess you get on local TV if you're in Detroit or the New York City Metro. Or you have to listen to the radio, which is what I do when I don't have a local broadcast of a particular game that I want. Then I can catch it later on NFL Plus. But the Panthers and the Patriots, the Lions and the Giants, they really need to be done with their joint practices. They've even had to end a couple early because of how divisive it's been and how petty it's been. So that's the reason for the joint practices. We'll see how it looks on the field and how many of the guys we actually get. I did see this, that Patrick Mahomes will be starting the preseason opener for the Chiefs at the Jaguars. Nothing like having your MVP quarterback play week one of the preseason. That sets a tone. And according to Andy Reid, the Chiefs starters, in pursuit of their third consecutive Super Bowl win, they will play about a quarter. So if you want to see what the Chiefs look like, let's go. Kansas City on the road at Jacksonville. That's a Saturday evening game. Jaguars time, 7 o'clock. Kansas City, 6 o'clock. And a couple of games on Sunday as well to retrain your brain that football belongs on Sunday afternoons. So the first game kicks off at 1 Eastern, 10 o'clock for those of you listening on the West Coast. And then the next one right after that, Dallas and LA. So yeah, they're trying to remind us this is when you will be watching football come 4 weeks from now. 4 weeks, you guys. From Sunday, NFL week one, regular season games, week one, exactly 4 weeks away. What? So we got a lot to talk about, always. My biggest problem is that I can't ever seem to get to everything. We're going to start with a little baseball because the Phillies are surging, the Padres are surging, the Dodgers are backpedaling, and that NL West race is all of a sudden a lot tighter than it's been in months. And you can feel the hope emanating from San Diego. Speaking of the West, in the AL West, the Astros leapfrog the Mariners in a division that I'm not sure anyone wants to win. Our friend Maury Brown will join us from the Pacific Northwest at the top of next hour, so 45 minutes from now. And we'll talk to him about the AL West. The Mariners, remember they got Randy Arozarena at the trade deadline. They're one of the best pitching teams in all of baseball. Some might say they are the best rotation. Not that you saw the bullpen hold the water, carry the water, carry its weight, hold its water. You know me and cliches. Not that the bullpen did its job. That'd be a cleaner way to say it. Against the Tigers. But the pitching staff is really good from front to back. And yet the Mariners, the Astros, are kind of battling it out for worst division champion in baseball. And by that I just mean worst record among the division winners, eventual division winners. The AL West might be the team that has the worst record. We do have some good races, though. It's too early for that, right? Yeah, it's too early for that. It's too early. I can't do that yet. But the Phillies, they're back on track, so we'll talk about them a little bit. And the Padres, too. And actually, it's not just the Padres. It's the Diamondbacks as well that are within striking distance of the Dodgers. You think the Dodgers are nervous? I'm going to go with no. I feel like they've got a lot of experience being battle-tested. Find me online on Twix at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page too. I did go back and answer some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I always enjoy seeing them after the fact. Well, always. Most of the time, enjoy seeing your questions after the fact. Haven't even had a chance to host our conversation with our basketball insider from Paris, which I will try to do during the show, but Team USA in men's hoops actually tips off in its semifinal just over 12 hours from now in Paris. So both basketball teams getting closer to extending their gold medal streak. We are just getting started. We've got Andrew with us tonight on the other side of the double pane glass. I think he is number 6 of the fill-in producers. So going back now, just over a month. Andrew, we've had, do you prefer Drew or Andrew?
Andrew's fine.
Are you sure? I'll call you whatever you would like me to call you. Except for sir. I'm not calling you sir.
Either Andrew or Scarpacci. A lot of people call me by my last name here. It's kind of been a thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, girls don't do that. Dudes do that. Girls don't do that. At least not girls I hang out with. We don't call our friends by their last names. So that's one way where this girl doesn't really fit in with the guy culture in sports radio. So Andrew it is. Let's see. We've gone through Ryan, Colton, Manny, Nick. Am I missing one? I can't remember.
Jack?
No, Cardi? Not Jack. Chris did a show. And now, Andrew. Yep. It's been a revolving door. So welcome. Welcome on board in our never-ending producer search. Oh my gosh. I'm now finding out it could go through the end of this month. It's fine. It's totally fine. It's going to be fine. Thanks for all your support. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One out and nobody on, down by one, swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air, deep to right center field, Taylor is back, this one gonna go! Jackson Merrill's second homer of the night has tied it, 6-6 here in the ninth. He's at first, Arise at second, nobody out, 1-1 line into left field, that is a base hit for Xander Bogaerts. Arise rounding third, he'll score. Kim going to hustle into third base as the throw comes into second, an RBI single for Xander Bogaerts, and the Padres are back in front, it's 7-6.
They are one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball, if not the hottest. Right now, kicking butt and taking names. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The call's there on the Padres radio network as they rally past the Pirates in the late stages and then on into extra innings for that win. And if you look at what they've done over the last couple weeks, in fact, going back even before the trade deadline, they now have won six of their last seven. And then before that, eight of their last nine. And so those are the most recent stretches. And Jackson Merrill with a pair of home runs, including that tying shot, as the Padres draw ever closer to the Los Angeles Dodgers in a tightening NL West race. Oh, the AL West is also tight, but we'll talk about that in 30 minutes. So yes, between the Dodgers running into the Phillies and now dropping back-to-back games, and the Padres and the Diamondbacks having won four in a row each, but the success extends further back in the last couple weeks. That race, a little uncomfortable for Dodgers fans, though I suspect the Dodgers themselves would tell you this is just part of the process. So many of those guys are veterans and they've been in this position before, but still missing some of their starters. They added Jack Flaherty. Obviously, they are hoping that they can find some consistency with a rotation that's been replete with injuries and guys in and out, bunch of different rookies waiting on Mookie Betts to return as well. But the Padres are hitting the ball extremely well right now. And both the Diamondbacks and San Diego are now 11 games above 500. Online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A big victory, another one for the Padres. And Mike Schilt, he's kind of engineering this whole thing. Though I guess you could say when teams are playing the way they are, they're kind of along for the ride. Drew, can we hear number 33, please?
We did a lot of things really, really well today. There's no question about that. Situational hitting was tremendous. Guts across the field. Yeah, we didn't play as clean as we typically play. Got to prove you're human some days. But definitely overcame it. And that's what winners do. They find solutions. And I just can't say enough about the group. You know, Michael gutted out through five, was grinding a little bit, but found a way. And then the rest of the guys on the mound did their part as well. Jacob, that's a big inning, man, right there. We're down one, hold it there. We talked about that, how important that is for guys in the bullpen to give yourself a chance to come back. Our bats in the eighth, Brady bats against Chapman in the eighth, set us up, I felt like, for the ninth about where we were, relative to in the lineup for Bednar. So it was just a great team win.
It's always easier, and I would say that if Mike Schilt is like me, it sounds like he does, you always have more to say when it's a positive outcome and when it's been a positive experience. He talks first about Michael King, who was out there starting for him, but then runs through a bunch of the different guys that he set on the mound. including Morejon. I love that name. I just like to say the name. It's Adrian Morejon. He was out there on the mound at the end getting his first career save. So, yes, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, they're creeping. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Meanwhile, the Phillies seemingly have found their stride again. And Kyle Schwarber, he's the big bat on Wednesday evening in Los Angeles.
The count 2-2 to Schwarber. Stone into the wind and the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, hit in the air deep. Left field. Hernandez going back to the track at the wall, and he's out of room. Another leadoff home run for Kyle Schwarber, this time to the opposite field. Schwarber's 11th leadoff home run this season. His 25th homer overall. It's 1-0 Phillies. Kelly. To the letters, comes set, here's the pitch. Swung on, hit up the alley, right center field, and it's gone! Kyle Schwarber, his second of the night! This time a three-run home run! Kyle Schwarber has given the Phillies an 8-4 lead! 1-1, swung on, hit deep to center, on the run is Páez, he's looking up, and he won't get it, it's gone! And Kyle Schwarber with his third home run of the night. He's gone to left. He's gone to right. And now he goes to center. It's 9-4 Phillies. As Kyle Schwarber with a 3-home-run, 7-RBI game here at Dodger Stadium.
That packs a wallop. He goes 4-for-4, 3 dingers. And 7 runs batted in, 7 of the 9 for the Phillies. And they had a big inning in which, well, a big swing in which Dave Roberts was ejected. And then they put up, was it 6 runs? 5 runs, excuse me, in the 6th inning. And the way that they look a lot more confident to me, back in front with best record in the National League, though there's still a long way to go. But every team is seemingly going to swoon at some point during a 162-game season. And even as Bryce Harper hasn't quite locked in yet again, if you can get contributions from other guys like Kyle Schwarber, I'm sure they don't care. What they most want is the win.
Great win, great series win. Phillips, you know, went out there and grinded out for another inning for us, and that was big, and kept them there 4-1. And, yeah, you know, we were lucky to go out there and felt like, you know, obviously with Hazy going down, Rojas did a really good job stepping in there, was ready to rock and roll in the game, and felt like just it was a really good team effort there all the way.
Tyler Phillips does get through the 5th inning long enough for the Phillies to rally and allows just 6 hits but 4 runs in there. So they're grinding. I also saw a quote from Kyle Schwarber where he said that the whole team was part of the win, which you heard him say, and that there were other cooler things that were done out there on the baseball field. But to go head-to-head against the Dodgers in Los Angeles and get the series win, that kind of serves as a good gauge for where they are right now. Though we still have a few more weeks of the dog days and then on into the stretch run. Oh, it's not even time to buckle up yet. I don't even know why I'm jumping the gun and looking at standings, but I get all excited when I think about tight division races with the season and with playoff spots on the line. But, right, breathe, Amy, because we're not there yet. Top of the hour, we'll talk AL West because it's a bit of a conundrum. Isn't that a good word? It's a conundrum. I like conundrums. Straight ahead, more red, white, and blue success at the Olympics. But guess what? China's got a beef. Oh, you want to laugh? Just wait until I share this next story with you. I'm not even sure if we should be taking it seriously, but I'll try as a journalist. Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Great to connect with you. Hope you survived your hump day. This is our 4th show of the week, so we're already over the hump and well on toward another summer weekend.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
It's After Hours, ushering in a Thursday morning by the time we're done. So we're going to say sayonara to the hump day, to your Wednesday, and hello to a Thursday. Will you miss the Olympics? They're winding down. We've got the team competitions that will wrap up at various points over the next few days. So men's and women's basketball, as well as women's soccer. Now, that final isn't until Saturday, so they've got a few extra days off. But definitely have a bunch more high-profile gold medals still to come. And on Thursday evening, up against, well, I take that back. If you're watching primetime in Paris to see what NBC deems the most interesting results and the best events, well then, yes, Thursday evening is when Noah Lyles is back on the track to race for the 200 meters. However, if you have a smartphone, if you pay attention to your smartphone, if you are interested in watching these events live as they unfold. So on Sunday, we had a chance to watch the 100 meters. So fastest man in the world. We watched that one live because the time change puts it in the middle of the afternoon. But as Americans, we're used to watching sports in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday. Regardless of where you are in the country, a lot of Sunday afternoons are spent watching sports. Primarily football, but NASCAR, baseball, even basketball, hockey for sure. I mean, Sundays for sports fans, it's pretty natural. It's built in. And so we were able to see Noah Lyles win the 100-meter dash by 5/1,000ths of a second. His 200 meters, so his attempt to win those two golds, that will happen Thursday afternoon, U.S. time. So you may already know, honestly, it's partly because of my work schedule, but I have had no issue, even on the rare occasion when I know what the result is, and I don't always look for it. Sometimes I just ignore it. I don't get the alerts on my phone, so if I don't look up the results on social, I go into the prime time in Paris block on NBC, so big NBC. And I don't know what's happened. Some of the basketball games I've gotten and watched live, or I've seen the packaged highlights on YouTube. Again, it's kind of tough with the sleeping. Not that you all think I sleep. I know some of you think I'm around the clock awake watching sports. It's been fun to have the live events overnight, and I've enjoyed the weekends. But I've also had no issues with the taped coverage that airs at night, because most of the time that's when I'm doing my work prep anyway, and it doesn't bother me that the events aren't live. I've been okay with it. And the numbers, the ratings and the TV viewership, the trends and the numbers have shown the majority of Americans, even with every event on Peacock, even with the multiple options that you have with other networks, so CNBC, USA, ETV, there's a bunch of different ways that you can watch these events live. The vast majority of us here in the U.S. are following the Olympics with primetime. That's how we're doing it, even though they're taped. Now, the 6-hour time difference between the East Coast and 9 hours to the Pacific time zone, and yet this is how we're getting our Olympics coverage. So NBC is doing a great job. I think Mike Tirico's terrific. He came back to speak at Syracuse when I was a grad student there, and I got to know him, have crossed paths with him a bunch over the course of our careers. He is the consummate traffic cop, if you will, when it comes to media. So I've really enjoyed him navigating, and of course, the interviews from Paris with the Eiffel Tower in the background. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did you all see the story about China's anti-doping agency wanting U.S. athletes to go through more stringent testing? Okay. Are you kidding me? This must be a joke. China wants U.S. athletes to go through more stringent testing for banned substances and PEDs. So here's how it works out. And it's the anti-doping agency. We have one in the United States, the U.S., ADA. China's is called the China DA. That's the acronym. China DA. Or China DA. Which doesn't sound nearly as much fun. So the Chinese anti-doping agency has accused its U.S. counterpart of double standards, saying that the United States is trying to clear and justify and excuse U.S. athletes, but accusing China of using PEDs and also covering them up. Now, there was an athlete, an American sprinter, Orion Knighton, who tested positive for a substance called trenbolone. It sounds like a food to me. Some type of a crazy pasta. Trenbolone. Trenbolona. Or just bologna, which is kind of what I think of this Chinese accusation. So Knighton tested positive for trenbolone earlier this year, but was not suspended for the games. Why? This is an arbitrator. An arbitrator decided that his positive test was likely caused by contaminated meat. Oh, no, that's no. Oh, gross. I one time ate, well, I don't know if you'd call it contaminated, but maybe it fits into that same category. I one time got salmonella from undercooked chicken. That was the worst illness experience of my life. Oh, next to getting strep throat as an adult. That's pretty bad. The doctor said it was a mild case, and I thought it was crazy. I couldn't swallow for a day and a half. I digress. Contaminated meat might be about the worst way to get sick. That's awful. It does something to your insides. And according to an arbitrator, I don't know if this is a little bit like the dog ate my homework, but I'm going to take this arbitrator at face value. The result of this positive test for trenbolone was likely because Knighton ate contaminated meat. Now, the same U.S. anti-doping agency was pointing fingers at China. Do you guys remember this? There were 23 Chinese swimmers who tested positive for the same substance before Tokyo, and all of them were allowed to compete. So there's this, he said, you did this, we did that type of thing. But China's trying to force the issue, which to me is, hello, kettle, you're black. Are you kidding? Do you really want to call more attention to irregular or inefficient, ineffectual doping testing and standards? You do, China? So China's pointing to this statement by the World Anti-Doping Agency that indicated 31% of U.S. athletes were inadequately tested in the year leading up to the Tokyo Games. Now, you remember what was happening leading up to the Tokyo Games. The testing that was taking place was for COVID. Ad nauseum. It never stopped. These athletes were tested so many times. Remember, Coco Gauff missed the Olympics in Tokyo because she tested positive for COVID. And so China is pointing to this and saying that U.S. track and field athletes are not tested enough. Here's one who failed a test. He got away with it. But to me, this is unwise and also comical. If you're China, who has a history of giving your athletes PEDs, who at times in the past, more than once, has had athletes banned, and not just one athlete, but a group of athletes or a team of athletes banned for using illegal substances to try to boost performance, do you really want to be pointing fingers at the United States? I think not. But this is China's route. I wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that the United States is running away with the lead in the medal count. Things that make you go, I actually don't know the exact numbers for the medal tracker because I find it kind of humorous. What do we win if we win the most medals in the Olympics? Nothing. I don't know that it matters to the most athletes there as long as they get their medals. But if you're wondering, I just looked it up. Let's see. Not only is the United States getting close to 100 medals in Paris, and we haven't even gotten to the breakdancing yet, but they lead the category of the most golds as well, which China was maybe expected to win more golds. But right now, the U.S. has 27, China has 25, Australia's in third place in gold medal count with 18. I actually think it's kind of neat, though, for France, a host country, which right now is third in overall medals. I think that's awesome. They've had some really amazing events and outcomes to cheer for. And I think the French fans have done themselves proud. And that begins with Léon Marchand, but also their men's basketball team, which we'll see in the semifinals coming up on Thursday. So, yes, the United States will likely end up with more than 100 medals. It will be the only country in the world that will end up with more than 100 medals, and right now also leads in the gold medal count. So I wonder, China, is this just being a sore loser? Where's your sportsmanship, China? Oh, I shouldn't be asking that question. Now, I know it's not the athletes individually. It's just the government bodies. But this is, it's ridiculous. Look at yourselves in the mirror. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
It's After Hours, ushering in a Thursday morning by the time we're done. So we're going to say sayonara to the hump day, to your Wednesday, and hello to a Thursday. Will you miss the Olympics? They're winding down. We've got the team competitions that will wrap up at various points over the next few days. So men's and women's basketball, as well as women's soccer. Now, that final isn't until Saturday, so they've got a few extra days off. But definitely have a bunch more high-profile gold medals still to come. And on Thursday evening, up against, well, I take that back. If you're watching primetime in Paris to see what NBC deems the most interesting results and the best events, well then, yes, Thursday evening is when Noah Lyles is back on the track to race for the 200 meters. However, if you have a smartphone, if you pay attention to your smartphone, if you are interested in watching these events live as they unfold. So on Sunday, we had a chance to watch the 100 meters, so fastest man in the world. We watched that one live because the time change puts it in the middle of the afternoon. But as Americans, we're used to watching sports in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday. Regardless of where you are in the country, a lot of Sunday afternoons are spent watching sports. Primarily football, but NASCAR, baseball, even basketball, hockey for sure. I mean, Sundays for sports fans, it's pretty natural. It's built in. And so we were able to see Noah Lyles win the 100-meter dash by 0.05 of a second. His 200 meters, so his attempt to win those two golds, that will happen Thursday afternoon, U.S. time. So you may already know, honestly, it's partly because of my work schedule, but I have had no issue, even on the rare occasion when I know what the result is, and I don't always look for it. Sometimes I just ignore it. I don't get the alerts on my phone, so if I don't look up the results on social, I go into the prime time in Paris block on NBC, so big NBC, and I don't know what's happened. Some of the basketball games I've gotten and watched live, or I've seen the packaged highlights on YouTube. Again, it's kind of tough with the sleeping. Not that you all think I sleep. I know some of you think I'm around the clock awake watching sports. It's been fun to have the live events overnight, and I've enjoyed the weekends, but I've also had no issues with the taped coverage that airs at night, because most of the time that's when I'm doing my work prep anyway, and it doesn't bother me that the events aren't live. I've been okay with it. And the numbers, the ratings and the TV viewership, the trends and the numbers have shown the majority of Americans, even with every event on Peacock, even with the multiple options that you have with other networks, so CNBC, USA, ETV, there's a bunch of different ways that you can watch these events live. The vast majority of us here in the U.S. are following the Olympics with primetime. That's how we're doing it, even though they're taped. Now, the six-hour time difference between the East Coast and 9 hours to the Pacific time zone, and yet this is how we're getting our Olympics coverage. So NBC's doing a great job. I think Mike Tirico's terrific. He came back to speak at Syracuse when I was a grad student there, and I got to know him. I've crossed paths with him a bunch over the course of our careers. He is the consummate traffic cop, if you will, when it comes to media. So I've really enjoyed him navigating, and of course the interviews from Paris with the Eiffel Tower in the background. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did you all see the story about China's anti-doping agency wanting U.S. athletes to go through more stringent testing? Okay. Are you kidding me? This must be a joke. China wants U.S. athletes to go through more stringent testing for banned substances and PEDs. So here's how it works out. And it's the anti-doping agency. We have one in the United States, the U.S. ADA. China's is called the China. That's the acronym, China, duh, or China, dah, which doesn't sound nearly as much fun. So the Chinese anti-doping agency has accused its U.S. counterpart of double standards, saying that the United States is trying to clear and justify and excuse U.S. athletes, but accusing China of using PEDs and also covering them up. Now, there was an athlete, an American sprinter, Orion Knighton, who tested positive for a substance called trenbolone. It sounds like a food to me, some type of a crazy pasta. Trenbolona, or just bologna, which is kind of what I think of this Chinese accusation. So Knighton tested positive for trenbolone earlier this year, but was not suspended for the games. Why? This is an arbitrator. An arbitrator decided that his positive test was likely caused by contaminated meat. Oh, no, that's no. Oh, gross. I one time ate, well, I don't know if you'd call it contaminated, but maybe it fits into that same category. I one time got salmonella from undercooked chicken. That was the worst illness experience of my life. Oh, next to getting strep throat as an adult. That's pretty bad. The doctor said it was a mild case, and I thought it was crazy. I couldn't swallow for a day and a half. I digress. Contaminated meat might be about the worst way to get sick. That's awful. It does something to your insides. And according to an arbitrator, I don't know if this is a little bit like the dog ate my homework, but I'm going to take this arbitrator at face value. The result of this positive test for trenbolone was likely because Knighton ate contaminated meat. Now, the same U.S. anti-doping agency was pointing fingers at China. Do you guys remember this? There were 23 Chinese swimmers who tested positive for the same substance before Tokyo, and all of them were allowed to compete. So there's this, he said, he said, you did this, we did that type of thing. But China's trying to force the issue, which to me is, hello, kettle, you're black. Are you kidding? Do you really want to call more attention to irregular or inefficient, ineffectual doping testing and standards? You do, China? So China's pointing to this statement by the World Anti-Doping Agency that indicated 31% of U.S. athletes were inadequately tested in the year leading up to the Tokyo Games. Now, you remember what was happening leading up to the Tokyo Games. The testing that was taking place was for COVID ad nauseum. It never stopped. These athletes were tested so many times. Remember, Coco Gauff missed the Olympics in Tokyo because she tested positive for COVID. And so China is pointing to this and saying that U.S. track and field athletes are not tested enough. Here's one who failed a test. He got away with it. But to me, this is unwise and also comical. If you're China, who has a history of giving your athletes PEDs, who at times in the past, more than once, has had athletes banned, and not just one athlete, but a group of athletes or a team of athletes banned for using illegal substances to try to boost performance, do you really want to be pointing fingers at the United States? I think not. But this is China's route. I wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that the United States is running away with the lead in the medal count. Things that make you go, I actually don't know the exact numbers for the medal tracker because I find it kind of humorous. What do we win if we win the most medals in the Olympics? Nothing. I don't know that it matters to the most athletes there as long as they get their medals. But if you're wondering, I just looked it up. Let's see. Not only is the United States getting close to 100 medals in Paris, and we haven't even gotten to the breakdancing yet, but they lead the category of the most golds as well, which China was maybe expected to win more golds. But right now, the U.S. has 27, China has 25, Australia is in third place in gold medal count with 18. I actually think it's kind of neat, though, for France, a host country, which right now is third in overall medals. I think that's awesome. They've had some really amazing events and outcomes to cheer for. And I think the French fans have done themselves proud. And that begins with Léon Marchand, but also their men's basketball team, which we'll see in the semifinals coming up on Thursday. So, yes, the United States will likely end up with more than 100 medals. It will be the only country in the world that will end up with more than 100 medals. And right now also leads in the gold medal count. So I wonder, China, is this just being a sore loser? Where's your sportsmanship, China? Oh, I shouldn't be asking that question. Now, I know it's not the athletes individually. It's just the government bodies. But this is, it's ridiculous. Look at yourselves in the mirror. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.